street, rich in their palaces, poor and unlearned, men of degrees, all have a soul in need of salvation.
The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse number 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
But the biggest
forgiveness, was I so wrong that I needed redeemed? I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison. I was as lost as a sinner could be.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to our broadcast again today. You're listening to the Spirit of Truth coming to you from the Morning Star Baptist Church in Pacolet, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, and we're just glad to have you aboard today and trust that the week has been good for you. And I know that God has been good to you, and I trust the goodness of God leads you to want to live for Him and serve Him all the days of your life. We're just excited about being able to come to you today with a broadcast, and I would encourage you to call a friend and invite them to listen along with you. We're on this same time, on this same station every week, and so we would encourage you to invite someone to listen to the broadcast with you. I would also like to encourage you to send us your prayer request. We believe that God hears and answers prayer, and I'm glad that I know where our help comes from. It comes from above, and the Bible says we're to lift our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. The Bible also says that you have not because you ask not. And so, neighbor, I believe in asking God, and I'm glad that God's arm is not short that He cannot save, and neither is His ear heavy that He will not hear. And so we do believe in prayer. We believe God hears and answers prayer, and we would invite you to send us your prayer request. And so you could do that by simply writing to us, Pastor Andrew Kerrigan, Morning Star Baptist Church, 150 Old Spartanburg Highway, Pacolet, South Carolina, zip code 29372. Or you can send me a personal email. Just email me at andrewkerrigan@bellsouth.net. We would love to have your prayer requests. We have a prayer book in our church. We write these requests down in, and then they're transferred over into our burden bowl. And every Sunday morning, our church family comes by and draws names out of this burden bowl, and they pray for the name that they get out of that burden bowl all week long. And so your name may, your prayer request is in there several times, and there may be four or five people in our church that would draw your prayer request out and have those people praying for you every day of the week. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, that's a good thing to have people praying for you. I do believe in prayer. I constantly am asking people to pray. Fact is, I'm asking you out there in radio land this afternoon, to pray for us, that God would use us in a mighty way here at the Morning Star Baptist Church. Our vision is not dull. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. My dear friend, we have a vision today for world evangelism, beginning right here at home and reaching out around the world. And we would ask that you remember us in your prayers, that God would use us to His honor, to His praise, and to His glory. We're now on four different radio stations each week, once a week, and so I trust that you would pray for us. Well, it's a joy to have the trio singing for us on our radio broadcast, and I want to invite you to listen once again as they come to sing right now. I believe they're going to be singing this old song, "My Hope Is in the Blood." I hope that's the one they're singing, because that's where my hope is, neighbor. I'm glad that my hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Every hope that I have here in this old sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. And though the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro, there is peace beneath that flow.
Isn't that a wonderful thought, neighbor, to know that our hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I still believe there's power, yes, wonder-working power, in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Neighbor, I want to ask you today that you pray for us as we continue in our broadcast. We're looking at the subject, the separation of faith. We saw in this man Abraham, his faith led him to obey God, and now we find that his faith in God has caused him to do some separating, and that's what we're talking about. We came to you last week to begin this message on the separation of faith. Now, I want you to understand, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says of Enoch that walked with God before he had this translation, that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Surely, neighbor, that's our desire in these days, to want to be pleasing unto the Lord. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8, 9, and 10, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Neighbor, I said to you that we're living in a day when people need to know what the Bible teaches about separation. I'm talking about scriptural separation. It's separation from all that is outside of the will of God for our lives. You and I that are saved, and separated to all that is within the will of God to our life. And so Abram's faith called him to a life of separation. I want you to notice that this separation was a progressive call. God did not call Abram just one time, but he called him on a number of occasions. I've written down three of them. He called him to leave the land of Ur in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, where I read to you just a few moments ago. And then in Genesis 13, 1 through 4, he called on him to leave Egypt. And then in chapter 13, verses 14 through 18, he called him to leave Lot. And so this call was a progressive call. But not only was this call a progressive call, but it was a particular call. It was not a general call, but a specific call which came to Abraham. It was to separate himself from Ur, his home, his friends, and all the associations of that city. God's call to each of us is a particular call. I'm glad that God had called me. He called me unto salvation, and then he called me unto service. And it was a particular call unto me. And then I want to say number three, it was a practical call. There was nothing passive about this call. It was the most practical thing in the world for God to call Abraham. Just try to picture Abraham packing up all of his things and leaving Ur, then later separating himself from Lot, and then still later offering his only son Isaac as a sacrifice. How practical all of that was. My dear friend, so we see progressive call. We see it's a particular call, and we saw it's a practical call. But then today on this broadcast, I want to speak to you about the cost of a life of separation. My dear friend, somebody said, is it an easy life or is it a hard life? Well, for some it may seem to be easy, for some it may seem to be hard. But I want you to notice that it's a costly life, but we shall see in the end a little later, my dear friend, that there are tremendous compensations to those of us that God has called to separate ourselves from things in this world. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, we find Jesus saying these words, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I want you to know how our Savior here recommended his way of life, my dear friend, as a choice. Not compelling, anyone by force or violence to embrace or entertain this way of life. He said, if any man will be my disciple. Oh, beloved, listen. I'm glad that God gave me a choice. I'm glad that God did not mandate to me that I had to go one way or the other. But I'm glad back there 46 and a half years ago when the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart, revealed to me that I was a sinner, lost and undone in this world without God, that I was on my way to hell, and unless something happened in my life, I would wind up in that terrible place. I'm glad that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ convicted my heart of sin, and there God gave me a choice. I could either accept Christ and be saved by the grace of God, or I could reject Christ and be damned forever. I'm so glad, neighbor, that God allowed me to make a choice. I'm glad that God made me with a free will. Now, I know that's contrary to what a lot of people are preaching out there today, but I want to tell you, my dear friend, I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so that's why it's important that we get the gospel out to men, women, boys, and girls today. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so we find, my dear friend, if a man chooses, if any man chooses and resolves to be a Christian, he can follow Christ and be one of his. I want you to notice, secondly, that our Savior's terms are propounded. Namely, he talks about self-denial. He talks about gospel suffering and gospel service. Think about this self-denial, a willingness to part with all our earthly comforts and temporal enjoyments for the sake of Christ. When called thereunto, oh, my friend, listen, even the wife of our bosom and the offspring of our bowels and those to whom we yield the highest reverence and to whose command we owe most entire obedience as our mothers and our fathers. But, and if the authority of natural, civil, or ecclesiastical superiors should combine to tempt us to do what Christ forbids, yet Christ must be loved more than these and obeyed above all of these things. I want to say to you, my friend, today, I'm just simply saying to you out there today that Christ will not take second place in our lives. It's either, he's either first, he's either there first, or he's not going to be there at all. No, God, you can't put God on the back burner. You can't use God like a spare tire. You can't use God like a breaker in a breaker box. I want to tell you, my dear friend, when the Lord Jesus convicted my heart of sin and I turned to him and accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, he took up his reign upon the throne of my heart. He became the boss of my life. And I want to say to you, my dear friend, to follow him and to walk with him means to deny self. Oh, beloved, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I know we're living in days when people aren't accustomed to denying themselves of anything for the cause of Christ. But I want to tell you, neighbor, I grew up in the old school. I just grew up believing the Bible. I grew up being taught that you believe what the Bible has to say. You don't read the Bible and then question God about it. You just believe what God has to say about it. That's what faith really is. It's believing God and trusting God as you go along the way. And if God's word speaks to us about separating ourselves from things in this world, we're simply to separate ourselves. I think about the missionaries that have denied themselves many a pleasure in order to go to a foreign field somewhere and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about families that have given up mom and dad to go to the mission field. I think about men that have given up a great careers to go to the mission field. I thought about men that have given up great wealth in order to become a pastor of a small country church. Oh, my dear friend, I want to say to you today, yes, it may seem very costly, but I want to tell you the compensations are out of this world. Maybe next week on the broadcast, we'll talk to you about some of the things that you gain by denying yourself and separating yourselves from the things of this world. And so when Jesus talks about if any man will, beloved, that means that he chooses to be a Christian. And then, my dear friend, if he's going to follow Christ, he must deny himself of these worldly things. Or if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, the Bible says, and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we look at this self-denial. And then there's gospel suffering. He must take up his cross daily, an allusion to a Roman custom. When a malefactor was to be crucified, he took the cross upon his shoulder and he carried it to the place of execution. You know, I am amazed today at the people think that the cross they're called to bear is somebody they married, or the cross they're called to bear is some little something that they do in the church, or being some kind of an officer in the church. But that's not what he's talking about, neighbor. I want to tell you, to take up your cross means that you take up that cross, whatever it means, to follow Christ, and you bear that not for a month, not for a year, but you bear it until you come to the end of the journey. Jesus said, if any man come after me, if any man will be my disciple, let him take up his cross daily and come and follow me. And so there's self-denial, there is gospel suffering, and then I want to tell you, there is gospel service. Let him follow me, says Christ. That is, obey my commands and imitate my example. He must set life and doctrine continually before him and be daily correcting and reforming of his life by that rule and by that pattern. Oh, my dear friend, what a joy it is to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go after Christ, to obey his command. Why would we call him Lord and do not the things that he says? And so to Abraham, living a life of separation meant, first of all, the loss of personal freedom. He was no longer a free man. He was from now on the Lord's bond slave. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? I wonder if that principle were to put to the test today in the lives of many that attend our churches today. Why would we call him Lord and we don't even do what he says? We call him Lord and we don't tithe. We call him Lord and we're not involved in missions. We call him Lord and we never witness. We call him Lord and we're not faithful to church. We call him Lord and we live in disobedience unto him. Oh, my dear friend, how can we call him Lord? To call him Lord, beloved, means that he's on the throne of our heart. To call him Lord means that he is in charge. And I want to tell you, that's exactly what takes place when a person's saved by the marvelous grace of God. We no longer are in the driver's seat, but he takes up the position of the driver. We're no longer in the decision-making seat, but he's in the decision-making seat. And whatsoever the Bible says for us to do, we just find ourselves doing it. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse number 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Yes, my dear friend, for this cause, for the fact that he's saved by the marvelous grace of God. And so to Abraham, it meant the loss of personal freedom. And then secondly, it meant the loss of social standing. It surely meant this for Abraham. He must have known what Paul called the offense of the cross. Looking at Galatians 5 and 11, And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I want to tell you, my dear friend, for those of us that are saved by the grace of God, yes, there is a life that people don't understand. And sometimes we're ridiculed. Sometimes we're called a name. Sometimes people don't understand us. But thank God, I'm glad today. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yes, my dear friends, sometimes when a person saved by the grace of God, yes, they are verbally abused. Sometimes people will mock at them. I thought about when I was first saved by the grace of God, people would look and just wag their head. Oh, beloved, listen, I've had them to make comments like, he'll not last very long. Just give him about 3 weeks. Give him 3 months. Give him 3 years. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, those weeks, months, and years has turned into 46 and a half years. And by the marvelous grace of God, I'm still saved by His grace. By God's marvelous grace, I'm still in the battle. By God's marvelous grace, I'm still preaching. I thought about when I started preaching many years ago, people wagged their head and asked the question, who does he think he is? Well, neighbor, I've never thought myself to ever be anything, but it wasn't me that called me. It wasn't mama that called me. It wasn't dad that called me, but I'm glad that God called me to be a watchman on the wall. I'm glad that God put a message in my heart. I'm glad that God put a fire in my soul. I'm glad that God put words in my mouth. I'm glad that God gave me the spirit of preaching, and God just sent me out to preach the gospel. Oh, beloved, what a blessing and what a joy. But then I want to say to you, not only did he lose his personal freedom, not only did he lose his social standing, but there was the loss of human friendships. First, he had to leave all of his friends in Ur, and then later on, he had to leave his nephew Lot. I want to tell you, my friend, this faith, this separation of faith, will cause you to be separated from some places in this world. It'll cause you to be separated from some people in this world. It'll cause you to be separated from some things in this world. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, my dear friend, what a blessing and a joy it is just to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it meant the law loss of home. It meant the loss of comfort. It meant the loss of ease. Think again of Abraham leaving all of these, and as we read about in Genesis chapter 12. And the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, beloved, the Apostle Paul had it right. Oh, he said, listen, I haven't really given up anything I've really gained. But then there's the loss of worldly gain. To live a life of separation often means for the child of God a loss of worldly gain. Matthew 8 and 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Luke chapter 14, verse number 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I say to you that all of these losses were only temporary, especially in the light of Romans 8 and 16, where the Bible says the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now listen to this, neighbor, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. My dear friend, listen, yes, it may seem like it cost old Abraham a lot, but I think about, neighbor, as time went on. Yes, he left the city, and the Bible says that he was like a pilgrim and a stranger. He dwelled in this land. Listen, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to tell you, my dear friend, my eyes are turned toward that city. My face is turned toward that city. My steps are turned toward that city. Oh, beloved, listen, this world is not my home. Thank God, I'm glad that I have a better promise. I'm glad that I have a better place. I'm glad that there's a better land. I'm glad, thank God, there's a better sunshine. I'm glad there's a better river flowing. I'm glad, thank God, there's a better place to go. Oh, neighbor, listen, I want to thank you today for listening to the broadcast. I trust God will bless bless you and help you as you journey on in your journey, that the Lord will just be good to you, and that you'll recognize the goodness of God, and the goodness of God will cause you to want to turn your heart to Him. Oh, what a blessing it is to be a child of God today.
Many times do you wonder how you've made it this far that's gone.